Support comes from Dr. John Krellick, offering home sleep testing for sleep apnea. Indicators of sleep apnea may include snoring, tiredness, high blood pressure, obesity, or diabetes. This test is performed at your home in the comfort of your bed. Information at junosleepdoctor.com.
The next installment of the Karen and Concert Series is coming up November 20th. Grace Elliott will host Blues by Association, Back Porch Blues and Deep Soul Grooves with some of Juno's best blues musicians, Ryland Buehler, Rob Weber, Brian Nichols, Kyle Harris, Jim White, Nick Wagner, and Eric. These shows have been selling out, so if you want tickets, be sure to get them in advance at KRNN.org or the station. That's Blues by Association, Wednesday, November 20th at the Goldtown Theater at 7 p.m.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. In Canada, a report by a provincial representative for children in British Columbia is leading to changes by social services departments. The report shows child welfare agencies in BC and Saskatchewan felled an Aboriginal girl. She was placed in the care of her grandfather, who had 70 criminal convictions. More from Dan Karpinchuk.
The case goes back to 2008, when the grandfather of the two-year-old girl hitchhiked from Saskatchewan to British Columbia. He went to the children's ministry and demanded money so he could take his granddaughter back to Saskatchewan. Instead, the grandfather, who has a long criminal record, used some of the flight money to buy drugs. It's not known exactly how they eventually traveled back to Saskatchewan. But in July of 2008, police were called to the home in Fort Capel, Saskatchewan, to investigate concerns by neighbors. They found the child malnourished, injured with a fractured collarbone, and with multiple scars on her head. British Columbia's representative for children and youth says it's a miracle the girl, who is now 8 and living in foster care, is still alive after the horrific treatment she received for 18 months living with her grandfather. The representative's report says child welfare agencies in BC and Saskatchewan failed to protect the girl. Saskatchewan's Minister of Social Services, June Droughty, agrees changes are needed.
If they can't be safe there, then they've got to go to another family. What do we as government have to do? We have to check that family as closely as we can. We've got to guard that kid as if it was my own grandchild. We've got to keep on doing that work on a daily basis.
Droughty says in the past year in her province, children under 5 placed with extended family now get home visits. The British Columbia representative recommended that her province do a better job of assessing and recommending out-of-province placements for children in care, and that all provinces review their current child transfer protocols to ensure those children are protected. And she called on the federal government to provide more money to improve the well-being of Aboriginal children in the care of provincial governments. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius and tribal leaders report federal budget cuts are hurting Indian country. As Matt Laszlo reports, health care was among the concerns of tribal leaders last week who attended the White House summit.
One in three Native Americans and Alaska Natives don't have health insurance, so they rely on federal government spending. That means the federal budget cuts called sequestration are having a disproportionately negative impact in Indian country, according to Secretary Sebelius.
All of us recognize that Washington politics has put much of that progress at risk due to the so-called sequestered cuts. For Indian country, these cuts mean 3,000 fewer inpatient admissions and unconscionably 804,000 fewer outpatient visits for IHS patients.
Carolyn Lubinow is chairwoman of Washington State's Snoqualmie Tribe. She says they felt the budget cuts at home.
We had to rearrange a lot of our own tribal economics to meet, well, mostly health care. I think in many cases, health care is really the health care and education, you know, pretty much are the ones that suffer when we have situations where we're not getting the grants and the funding that we're expecting.
Sebelius says one of the best things for tribes to do is to continue lobbying Congress as they work on next year's budget. For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
Massachusetts and the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe signed a compact Friday. The compact is a step in building a resort casino in Taunton. According to the tribe, the legislature enacted it earlier last week. It now moves to the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which has 45 days to accept or reject it. The tribe says the project will create jobs and boost the economy. Under the compact, the Commonwealth will receive more than $2 billion in revenue over 20 years. The tribe received federal recognition status in 2007 and has been working on economic development since then. In November 2009, a reconciliation ceremony was held in New York in front of the National Museum of the American Indian in Lower Manhattan. The Collegiate Church officially apologized to Lenape people for past mistreatments. The church was started by Dutch settlers in the 1600s, and indigenous people in the area were massacred and displaced. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Hi, you're listening to Juneau Afternoon, KTOO at 104.3 in Juneau, Alaska. And my first guest in the studio is Margie Hamburger from the Juneau Douglas City Museum. Hi, Margie. How are you?
Thanks. Thanks. I'm well, and thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And would you please tell our guests about the show that's coming up this Saturday?
Yes. Well, as many people might know, we have this coffee and collection series once a month throughout the fall and winter and spring. And so we're having our second event of the season this Saturday, the 23rd, from 10:30 to noon. And we're remembering Dale DeArmond, who many people knew her personally or know of her work and her legacy or maybe that of her husband. And if you don't know who she is, come on out, because she's a really important person to know. She's an artist, or was an artist, and did wonderful woodcuts. We have some of her work on display right now. But we have some people who are going to come and talk to us about her, including her son, William DeArmond, and some other people who knew her and can help us remember her. But one thing that I'm particularly excited about for this Saturday, being somebody who loves books and loves book construction, Dale also, many of her woodcuts and other artworks were illustrations for various books, but we have in our museum collection some handmade, hand-bound copies of some of her books, and we're going to bring some of those out on display, and so people can get up close with those as well. So we're going to talk, and we're going to look, and we're going to share and remember Dale.
Okay, I noticed a lot of the pictures in the series. There's a series called The Hat. Mm-hmm. Can you describe a little bit about that?
Well, the prints are on display in the museum right now, and then the prints are also included in this book we're going to have that's called From Long Ago. So they're kind of displayed in two different formats. They're wood engravings, and they are all small images of Alaska Native people, sort of little portraits. I don't know if they're actual people or just kind of prototypes of people, but each of them is wearing this fabulous kind of headwear, whether it's Tlingit or some other, Haida or some other kinds of Alaska Native people with these headwear. And they're just beautiful. They're hand-colored by the artist and just lovely little images. So we have those on display right now.
Okay, and the Juneau Douglas City Museum used to be the city library between 1958 and 79.
Yeah.
How did it wind up outgrowing its location at that time?
Well, you know, like any building, it's finite, and if people know where it's located on the corner of 4th and Main Street, we're kind of hemmed in there by roads and buildings, so I'm not sure how the city, you know, came to the decision to not expand that building, but we are on the National Historic Register of Historic Places, so maybe there's some limitations there. But anyway, that's where Dale DeArmond was also a librarian and was director, as I understand it, at the library. So she worked there for about 20 years. And then, of course, now the main library is on top of the parking garage here downtown and elsewhere in the community. But we love the fact that it was a place where she worked as well.
Okay, I know this is a temporary exhibit. How long does this exhibit run?
The exhibit is up through the end of April, I believe. So there's quite a long time to see that, although some of the items that are going to be on display this Saturday, we're just bringing out for this particular lecture series, some of these books which are not on display. Like I said, there's going to be a lot of talk about Dale, memories. Members of the community who come to this event will be invited to share. Many people have stories of her when they used to come to the library as kids and things like that, so hopefully it'll be a sharing time. And we have a movie that the Alaska State Museum had made that actually is Dale talking about her work, so we'll get to sort of hear her in her own words and see her image as well.
Okay, and there are other pieces of interest that are on display now at the JD Museum.
Yes.
One of which is also near and dear to our hearts at KTOO. Would you mention that just a little bit for us?
Yes, well, we do have still the exhibit of Jeff Brown's wonderful, witty postcards that are kind of tongue-in-cheek or puns, and those are up for some more months as well. So come on by, particularly come on by, well, anytime, but the first Friday in December, which is the big gallery walk in town, the museum will be open. Toby Harbinuck is another artist whose work was opened last at the beginning of this month, but will be on display through the end of December, so we'll be having that to show. And then also we have these rotating gift shop artists, and this month in December, Rebecca Jusler is our gift shop artist, and she'll have things for sale, and I know people are shopping around that time, so don't forget the museum shop at the City Museum. And I also just want to make a plug that during the winter, admission to the museum is free. And it's because we have these wonderful donors who subsidize that. The month of November, Don and Alma Harris are subsidizing that. And the month of December, Michelle and Robert Storer. So that means if you come to the museum, either on Gallery Walk or any Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 4, admission is free.
Okay, Margie, thank you very much. And the free event, again, is kind of taking place all through the winter, but the event specifically honoring Dale DeArmond is from 10:30 to noon.
Correct.
On Saturday.
This Saturday, and we have hot coffee supplied by Heritage Coffee, so come and join us.
Okay, thanks again, Margie, for joining me in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
That was The Cars with Let's Go from the 1979 album Candy O. And right now I'm pleased to have a few KRNN DJs in the studio with me for my first show. It'll be Grace Elliott, joined by Rob Weber and Ryland Buller. Afternoon to all of you.
Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Ken.
You guys are going to give me a preview, along with all the listeners, of the KRNN concert Blues by Association that's coming up on Wednesday night.
That's right. It's all about the blues for us today.
Yeah.
So the Spotlight series is a series of concerts that we do. We're going into our third season. KRNN sponsors these concerts, and they're held at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. And it's kind of a unique format, especially for Juno, which is laid out that we have the band will come in, they'll play a set, and then there will be someone, myself, on this concert, Katie Bosler or some other DJs that will interview the band about things that are interesting to musicians and non-musicians alike, what their process is, how, you know, the history of the music they're playing, what drew them to it, those kinds of things. And it's really fun. It's kind of like being able to hang out in the green room after a concert. But in this case, you get to be there. So, and that is going to be Wednesday at 7 p.m. at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. And you can get tickets still if you're quick. Go to krnn.org. There's still some tickets, but last time 30 people got turned away. And now that everybody knows about the series, we're starting to sell out. So.
Yeah, I noticed the Goldtown Nickelodeon has only about 75 seats,
80
give
something.
Or take.
Yeah.
Okay, there's also a couch.
If you snuggle over on the couch, I think.
There's a couch that seats four.
Poor slender people on the couch.
A chair, some other kind of sofa or love seat that seats two. I noticed that's on there. Plus, there's some handicap seating that's up front on the left-hand side, according to the seating chart.
Yeah.
How many of those tickets are still available, do you know?
It's hard to say at this instant. What happens is this is Juno, right? So
yeah,
nobody does anything
at
a time. Everybody does things. You know, producing events in this town could just give you gray hair because it's all weather-dependent. People do it at the last minute. But that's why I'm warning people. This venue is small, and before the concert series got out, you could maybe get away with rolling up at the last minute and buying a ticket. That's not the case anymore. So if you really want to go, and I'm telling you, you really want to go, you should get your ticket now. I am so excited that these guys are here in the studio. Thank you, by the way, for bailing from work and coming in for the interview.
It's my
good.
Pleasure.
Outside in the cold, I'm ready to get
ready to come into the studio and become warm.
So my favorite thing about this concert right now, and then I'm going to be quiet and let these guys talk, is that to me, this is the quintessential Spotlight Series concert. It came about really organically. Ryland does a radio show right after mine. I do a blues-based show on Friday, 5 to 7, and his show is immediately after mine. Rob's is Saturday morning sunrise.
Yes.
But anyways, so Ryland and I were kind of BSing a little bit last year around Folk Fest time, and I was saying, oh, yeah, you know, I'm getting ready to do my Folk Fest show, and we'll have the local musicians come on and play this week and then the following week. And Ryland just is a very casual guy. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm playing a set at Folk Fest. And I was like, what, you're a musician? And that kind of made me tune into him, and I started paying more attention to his show. And then I found out later that he plays blues. So I got an idea, and he really picked it up and ran with it. And you might want to ask him more about that.
All right, Ryland, what about that?
Well, it's been a fun and exciting process so far. My show, World Beat, follows Grace's directly on Fridays from 7 to 9 p.m., and it's always exciting coming in after Grace. And she started getting me excited about this KRNN concert series by letting me know that she was into what we did at Folk Fest, and would like to see that amplified, so to speak.
Bluesified
and amplified, so I was in, and the project's gone through a couple metamorphosis type moves. And
I think we know what you meant. Yeah, went through a metamorphosis. Yes.
So originally I had a partner that we were just going to do a blues-based duo, but he actually ended up skipping out of the country to France to chase a woman that he met.
I don't know if we want to go that way.
Yeah, we don't need to go too far.
It's part of the blues story, right?
Yeah, that's blues. That's blues.
Suddenly we're off to France.
And Ryland's left with the blues in Juno.
Yep, Euro tour. But no,
So after that, you know, it was about a month and a half to showtime, so I approached Rob, who I'd jammed with a few times before down at the Peabody Studio, which is doing some coming out with some good musicians today. So
Wool Pullers.
Yeah, the Wool Pullers and, Disco Punch.
Disco Punch.
And I approached him about the project, and I don't even think he really knew what he was getting into, but we kind of started going down that road, and we developed a lot of original songs from scratch in this 1.5 months, so it's been a compressed time frame, but it's been exciting.
Yeah, I agree. We have Ryland came together with a handful of songs, and he said, you know, I think we're going to be focusing on some originals. And I said, well, I have a bunch of covers, but I also have a ton of originals. Well, ton. I have a handful of originals also, so we contributed, we collaborated together. Got my buddy, our collective buddy Kyle. Got Brian Nichols on the bass and some other folks that are going to be chiming in there. We're going to have Eric
Dorsett.
Thank you. I always think Tony Dorsett. I think Dallas Cowboys. Right. Jim Bay. And we've been putting this together, and it's just been coming together, and it's been like magic. You know, and I think props to Grace. She's really gotten us, me specifically, a little bit more excited about the show and just presenting the music to everybody, having a great time. And I've been really having a great time in the studio just putting these pieces together, seeing a lot of my originals get fleshed out. You know, with Ryland's great guitar licks and all the rhythms this have been holding together. And, I'm looking forward to just kind of bringing this to the people and letting them come out and check us out and going from there and see what happens on Wednesday night.
All right, Grace, would you remind everybody where the Gold Town Nickelodeon's located?
Sure. It's, kind of kitty corner from Marine Park over there. It's the back of the Marine, Alaska Steam Laundry Building was one of the names. And what was the other one? There was another one. You have to have been here for a while. Like me, I've been here 33 and a third years. Heritage
place,
is on the front of the building in Anchor, what's that word?
Franklin Street.
Franklin Anchor
Street.
I just want to say one thing before I'm going to wrap that up again, but I want to say I am so psyched because these guys have put up with me being in their rehearsal space, and they're so good. And I just want to say that Kyle's not here, but he plays a mean organ, and Ryland is playing lap steel as well, which makes me swoon. I mean, those two things, you know, together in a band in a small space like that.
True.
We don't get to, those are two instruments we don't get to hear very much, right, around town, like maybe once or twice a year we get to hear that. And I just think it is so cool that you're going to be able to be in this small space together with these people, and they can talk about what it's like to bring your songs to life, what it's like to just accidentally land in a band that's now going to, you know, flesh out your original compositions. But, okay, I know you've got other guests, people I know and love sitting in the hallway waiting for next. So it's... the Gold Town Nickelodeon Theater, it's at the back of the Alaska Steam Laundry Building. It's near Marine Park. So Wednesday is the day, 7 o'clock. Please try to be there on time, and do yourself a favor. Like we were saying last week, don't show up and pull the long face because you don't have a ticket. You know, go right now, KarenN.org, click on the link, get a ticket.
Grace, Rob, Ryland, pleasure having all three of you in here, and here is Sunshine from Blues by Association.
Rob's original.
Sunshine, Sweetie Pie.
Just the other day, I'm the lucky one, a heart full of sun. I know I'm the lucky one, the delicate dove with a love like a lion. I ain't lying, baby. You know, I'm in love. When people ask me why I act this way, I have to say it's my sunshine, the sweetie pie, all the love of my life. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh, oh, oh yeah, yeah, rock it. high lion. I'm in loving. It fits like a glove. Something special, something special from up above. Now let's see above. Oh, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 yeah. People ask me why I act this way. I have to say, my sunshine, sweetie pie. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 yeah.
Okay, that's a little bit of Blues by Association with their song Sunshine. That was a little preview of what may be at the Goldtown Nickelodeon Theater on Wednesday night. I am now joined in the studio by Paula Sumdum and Rena Sims, and they're going to give us the details on the St. Vincent de Paul Turkey Drive. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you for having us, and hello, Juno. Thank you for letting us have an opportunity to serve Juno with the Thanksgiving baskets that St. Vincent so graciously does for us every year. They honor us by allowing us to serve you.
Absolutely. And we want to thank Dan Austin for all of his years of service. So thank you all. One of the mottos for St. Vincent de Paul is doing the impossible every day. And so we're working very hard to make the impossible happen for Thanksgiving. We need approximately the foodstuffs for 200 baskets still, but we did want to let you know that that would be about 500 baskets total. We're going to be giving those foodstuffs out on Saturday the 23rd and Sunday the 24th, Saturday from 12 to 5, Sunday from 12 to 4 at the Riverbend Community Center behind the post office in the Mendenhall Mall. There's still time to give money and donations. Food donations can be delivered to 8617 Teal Street. Their phone number is 789-5535, or you can go to their secured site online, svdpjuno.org, and you can give a donation directly to St. Vincent de Paul. And we really want to thank everyone in the community that's given so far. And thank you, Juno, for caring about our community.
We are so happy. We want to give a shout-out to David McDonald, to Myra Monson, to Channel Construction, to
Alaska Marine Line. Alaska State Housing.
We also want to thank all the individuals here in Juno. This, again, I have to just brag on our city. We're 30,000 in population. We have about 500 that are in need for various reasons, and it's not the large corporations. It is our family here in Juno that makes this happen every year. We can give a lot of thanks for that. We want to say thank you to Safeway, to Fred Meyer's, to Walmart, to all those that help us carry the baskets in and out, to Saga, to the Mormon Church. We have so many people that make this happen every year. It makes it a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, this really is a true community effort. Both of you have been involved in foster care and with this Turkey Drive program for years. Yes. Do you want to expand a little bit on your history with both of those?
Our children, it has been for a number of years, this is our 10th year doing it, and between the two of us for a couple of years, we had about 23 children. Okay. And our children would go line it up and help us put the baskets and carry them out and all like that. And then we had lots of people from the community to give. And we just found that because we know so many families here in this city that are in need, you know, and St. Vincent has been a stand-up Organization that more than meets the needs of this Thanksgiving thing. They do the medical, they do the housing, they do the oil, they do the dental, they do the emergency flying in and out. They care, and they don't have a limit. Their limit is to do what they can for this community. And so we got hooked with that because we saw the care. We saw Dan Austin going out looking for people that care like we care. And so that's how we got hooked in. And we can't wiggle or loose from him. But his whole crew incites you to keep on wanting to give, and it works.
Paula, Rena, again, thanks for all that you do. But there is one member of your triumvirate that is not here.
Louise.
Would you please mention her?
Louise is... I ought to get Louise for this, because Louise is the backbone of this thing here. She lines up with getting
the van,
the housing, the truck, the people to help, the volunteers that go out. She organized for us. She makes these appointments for us. Yes, Louise, Wertheimer, we need to get you, okay? And you'll see her. She goes around. She got the donations from the Eagles, and she's got it from the, I can't think of the other group right now. She is soliciting all year round for us, her and her husband, Keith. They're the backbone, and we have to say thank you to her.
Okay, and again, can you stress how people can donate and help in this last day of the drive?
They can deliver food stuff to 8617 Teal, which is right behind the Nugget Mall. And their phone number is 789-5535. They can donate online at S as in Sam, V as in Victor, D as in David, P as in Paul, then the word Juno.org. It is a secure site, and no one else will know about it or see it. And we will be giving the baskets out on Saturday the 23rd from 12 to 5 and Sunday the 24th from 12 to 4. And thank you, Juno, for everything you do for people.
I wanted to say one more thing. There's a lady that flies down here just so her and her grandchildren can work to pass out the baskets and to put it together. We love little children coming, too. Thank you.
Well, that's dedication.
Yes.
All right, Paula, Rena, thank you for all that you do, and thanks for joining me on a Juno Afternoon.
See you,
Thank
Louise.
You so much.
KTOO is sponsored by the Alaska Club, with 18 locations statewide. The Alaska Club, the way fitness should be. More information at thealaskaclub.com.
And here is the Writer's Almanac from Monday, the 18th of November, 2013. It was on this day, 1883, standard time zones were established in the United States and Canada, 4 time zones, 1 hour of solar time for each 15 degrees of longitude. Before that, towns and cities set their own time and drove people crazy, particularly the railroads. It's the birthday of the novelist and poet Margaret Atwood, born in Ottawa, 1939. Her father was an entomologist. He did research out in the wilderness of Quebec. And the family spent every year April through November out there. And when she was about 6, Margaret Atwood began to write plays and poems and a novel about an ant, A-N-T. Studied English at the University of Toronto, went to Radcliffe, then to Harvard, wrote a critical study of Canadian literature called Survival, a thematic guide to Canadian literature. Came out in 1972. Was quite a success. Many collections of poems, novels followed, including The Handmaid's Tale in 1985. It's the birthday of the man who helped to invent the art of photography, Louis Daguerre, born just outside Paris, 1789. He was a theater designer. He used hand-painted translucent screens and elaborate lighting effects to create the illusion of a sunrise or a storm. But in 1829, he learned about a new technology that made it possible to use light to capture an image on a metal plate. So he set out to improve the process, made a copper plate coated with silver salts that could be developed with the application of mercury vapor and table salt, and used the process to capture a series of images of Paris. The camera needed about 15 minutes exposure time to capture an image, so there weren't people in his early pictures, except a picture of a boulevard that shows a man in the foreground who has stopped to shine his shoes. It was on this day, 1928, Mickey Mouse was born, the first sound-synchronized cartoon entitled Steamboat Willie, premiered in New York at the Colony Theater, which is 7 minutes long. And it's the birthday of the man who invented scientific polling. George Gallup, 1901, born Jefferson, Iowa, went to the University of Iowa, where in the early 20s, as the editor of the Daily Iowan, he conducted the first poll, took a survey to find the prettiest girl on the campus. The winner was Ophelia Smith, and George Gallup later married her. Here's a poem for today by Jane Kenyon, The Painters. A hot, dry day in early fall, the men have cut the vines from the shutters and scraped the clapboards clean, and now their heads appear all day in all the windows, their arms or shirtless torsos or a rainbow speckled rag swinging from a belt. They work in earnest. These are the last warm days. Flies bump and buzz between the screens and panes, torpid from last night's frost. The brittle months advance, ruts frozen in the icy drive, and the deeply black and soundless nights. But now the painters lean out from their ladders, squint against the light, and lay on the thick white paint. From the lawn, the radio predicts rain, then cold Canadian air. One of them works way up on the dormer peak, where a few wasps levitate near the vestige of a nest. Jane Kenyon's poem, The Painters, from her collected poems, published by Grey Wolf Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, produced by Joy Biles, with assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Hi, you're back with KTOO in Juneau, Alaska. It's 3:39 p.m. on a Juneau afternoon. My guest has been substituted. I'm talking to Lindy Ferguson from the Juneau Public Health Center on Glacier Highway, and she's going to highlight some information about immunizations, shots for the rest of you out there that don't get that.
Yeah, so I mostly wanted to talk actually about what types of services we offer at the Public Health Center, because I think there's a lot of people who don't know what we do. We have family planning services and birth control that we can give to people on a sliding fee scale based on their income. We also do sexually transmitted infection screenings and treatment, and well child exams and immunizations for kids and adults. And like I said, all of that is on a sliding fee scale based on income, but nobody would be turned away if they couldn't pay. So, and then something else we wanted to highlight was that we're having, every Tuesday evening, we're having evening appointments for child immunizations, from 4:30 to 5:30. And people who are, the kids who are eligible are 0 to 35 months old, regardless of insurance, they can get their immunizations with us. If anyone on Medicaid or Alaska Native can get their children's immunizations with us, they can also, if someone doesn't have insurance or their insurance doesn't cover vaccines, then they can come over to us. So, yeah.
And okay, Lindy, I've done the classic step on a rusty nail and have to come in for a tetanus booster shot, which I probably had since I was like 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do those there, and what kind of immunizations or boosters would you recommend for adults?
So we don't offer a very wide array for adults. We do have the tetanus boosters. We have but it's just for people whose insurance doesn't cover immunizations. But we do recommend everyone get a one-time dose of the Tdap vaccine. So that stands for tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis. So it's the same vaccine that you got when you were a kid, but it's for adults, and because they found that people's immunity waned to the pertussis.
Right, that sort of explains the reemergence of whooping cough, which we've been getting in the news. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we do have that for people whose insurance doesn't cover it. And right now we're offering the flu shot to eligible clients free of charge. So that's another incentive to come and get your flu shot. Yeah. And I know that a lot of people don't like to get flu shots, but it's always a good idea if you want to protect your loved ones, especially because a lot of people think, oh, I'm so strong. I have such a good immune system. It doesn't matter that I'm getting sick or missing work, but you can spread that to people who can't handle it and might end up having some complications from the flu. And it does take 2 weeks for your body to respond to the flu vaccine and provide protection from the flu virus. So the earlier you get it, the better. Yeah.
Thank you, Lindy. And would you please tell everybody where you're located again?
So we're at 3412 Glacier Highway, just across from the playground at Twin Lakes. Yeah.
Okay. And thanks again for joining me on a Juno Afternoon.
KTOO is sponsored by the Alaska Club, with 18 locations statewide. The Alaska Club, the way fitness should be. More information at thealaskaclub.com.
This is Bird Note. Not long ago, we didn't even know where they went in winter. Spectacled eiders, vividly colored ducks that look as though they're wearing large eyeglasses, just seem to disappear. But biologists flying transects across the vast, mostly frozen Bering Sea found them in ice-free openings. Imagine diving for clams 100 feet down in the middle of the Arctic winter. These spectacled eiders are calling from a patch of open water south of St. Lawrence Island, above what was once the Bering Land Bridge. In spring, the ducks, which live only along the coasts of Alaska and far eastern Russia, fly to tundra lakes to breed and feed on aquatic insects. After breeding, they return to the sea. We don't know why the number of spectacled eiders declined greatly near the end of the last century. They're now listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. But there is hope. An active recovery plan for the birds is underway. This cold environment is no challenge for a bird covered with eiderdown and dense waterproof feathers. But finding open water in the dead of winter is. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Tonight on 360 North, watch the BBC World News at 7 and Alaska Weather at 7:30. Then Science for Alaska presents Lasers in Alaska with Professor Richard Collins. At 9, Out on a Limb tells a science story and a human story, exploring the intersection of medicine, neuroscience, engineering, and robotics. Healthy Body, Healthy Mind is at 10. It's a great way to look at science and health tonight on 360 North and 360north.org.
You're back with Juno Afternoon, KTOO. It's 3:46 p.m., and I'm joined in the studio by Jeffrey Clow and Sarah Kennard, and they are going to be talking about the Eagle Crest standing in the Ski Town Throwdown. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, thanks for having us on air this afternoon. We really appreciate it. So, yeah, Eagle Crest is in round three of Powder Magazine's Ski Town Throwdown. And we just started voting this morning, today, and we're up against Red Mountain, British Columbia, who is last year's champion. So this is how people vote via Facebook, and you vote today and tomorrow, and we're hoping that we come out on top against Red Mountain, and we advance to round four.
Okay, now I've already looked at this on Facebook because I'm a Facebook user. We're in the Great White North bracket, and it looks like we're the only United States location up against a bunch of Canadian ones.
Definitely. we're the last surviving U.S. Ski area, the last Alaskan one, so we're kind of on our own out there, and it's pretty exciting.
I noticed that Alyeska got wiped out, I think, two rounds ago. Like, during the first round, they got wiped out, and we're now in round three of five potential rounds, right?
Actually, six potential rounds.
Six rounds, okay.
Yeah. So what we're saying is today and tomorrow, a vote for Eagle Crest is a vote for Alaska, too. So we've got to all stick together. We know we're a great state, we're a great community, and so we're just looking for everybody's help to get the word out and rock the vote.
Okay, and in 2007, we topped the world's ski resort list for the amount of snowpack on Eagle Crest. I know it hasn't been snowing much here, so kind of where are we at as far as snowpack goes on the ski slopes?
Right, well, we have, there's about a 15-inch pack base right at the very top of the mountain, and then people have been hiking up and skiing and riding down part of the mountain. We're making snow down at the Day Lodge. We have, roughly about 1 to 2, 3 inches of snow scattered around the Day Lodge, and we started making snow during these cold temperatures starting on Saturday morning, and we've been making them 24 hours a day since there on our learning area, and we should be able to finish up there on either Wednesday or Thursday, and then if snow conditions still or weather conditions still exist, we'll move up to Porcupine, to Ptarmigan. But yeah, we're just trying to help Mother Nature out.
Yeah, well, we haven't been getting a whole lot of snowfall yet this year, but I believe by Thursday, according to the forecast, that's going to start changing.
Yep, it is, and we're just keeping our fingers crossed. Mother Nature will come through, and the good news is the ground is frozen, and that's what we want. So when Mother Nature does drop snow on us, and the forecast is calling for it later this week, we're ready for it.
Okay, and tell everybody again where this next main gathering is going to be tomorrow night.
So we're going to be out at the world-famous Red Dog Saloon. We'll be there from 7 p.m. until 11 p.m., and we're just asking everybody in the community to join us, whether or not you have a Facebook account. It's kind of been a lot of fun so far, cheering on Eagle Crest and the community of Juneau, Alaska. So last time we all were texting each other as we were getting into the end of the round, and we figured we should just be in the same room with everybody else that's cheering people on.
Oh, yeah, it's a great idea. Plus, people that don't have Facebook accounts can still sign up for them and get a vote in before voting closes tomorrow, right?
Absolutely, and you can actually vote once a day. So since this is now a two-day voting round as opposed to 24 hours, which was the last two rounds. So if you didn't make it today, you can join Facebook and still vote tomorrow, too.
Okay, and what time is that going to start at the Red Dog again?
That's going to start at 7 p.m., 7 p.m. tomorrow.
All right.
And we just, again, remind everybody that we're very appreciative of all the support that the community gives Eagle Crest. If you need any more information on Eagle Crest or the Ski Town Throwdown, you can visit our website at skijuneau.com. And we just ask everybody to get out and vote. There's still time today. We're a little bit behind Red Mountain, so we want to make that up and get in the lead and then surpass them tomorrow. So it's voting today and tomorrow.
Okay, Jeffra, Sarah, thank you very much for joining me on a Juneau afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Garrett.
So bad, you know the summer's coming soon, though the interstate is choking under salt and dirty sand, and it seems the sun is hiding from the moon. Your daddy told you when you were a girl, the kind of things that come
And you're back with KTOO on a Juno afternoon. It's 3:54 p.m. Juno Retired Teachers Association has a social that's coming up at 5:30 on November 18th. And there's also going to be a potluck with a program. And it's going to be Fred Hiltner and his three-year travel adventure aboard a sailboat. It's also time for start to buy socks for the Glory Hole for Christmas. Love Incorporated Benefit Auction on Friday, November 22nd at 7 p.m. at Chapel by the Lake Church. This is an evening of fun, fellowship, desserts, music auction items, and updates on the Love Incorporated ministry. All auction items are to benefit the programs of Love Incorporated. Tickets are going to be available at the door for $25. Information is at 780-4090. And the weather forecast for today calls for mostly clear skies to continue, with the lows going down to single digits, 1 to 5 degrees above. Northwest winds are going to continue at 10 to 20 miles per hour. And for tomorrow, increasing clouds are expected, with a slight chance of snow in the afternoon with highs around 17. As the clouds increase over the next few days and the winds die down, the temperatures are going to rise into the upper teens to mid-20s, with snow becoming more and more likely as those clouds move in. So by Thursday, we're looking at snow likely with highs around 30 to 36 and lows down around 34. All the precipitation should be changing to rain over the weekend, but for now, it looks like our most significant snow event is possible on Thursday. Now, as far as KTO, we broadcast on translator IDs. This is KTOO in Juneau, and we rebroadcast on K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay. Also on K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek. And on K201 AM in Gustavus. K220 BT in Hoonah. And K210AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Straits. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable Digital Channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. And support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and viewers like you. Tomorrow on the Juneau Afternoon segment, Martha Moore is going to be your host. We'll find out about the theater at Latitude 58's production of Seussical, the musical. Tom Bryce will focus on Operation Christmas Child. We'll celebrate Wednesday's World Toilet Day. Wow, how'd that get in there? With guest Sue Beleda, we'll get an update on the Perseverance Theater's current main stage performance of Treasure Island. And we'll talk with Thunder Mountain High School's AVID program with teacher Annie Janes. That, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more, all on Tuesday's segment of Juno Afternoon. And if you happen to miss the Juno Afternoon segment or you want to listen again, you can catch it and other local, statewide, national, and international news at ktoo.org. Again, this is KTOO in Juneau, and this has been a Juneau Afternoon.
Was a turning of the corner in the U.S.-Israeli trust relationship turned out to be very thin, paper thin.
Differences with Israel over Iran's nuclear program and Israel's West Bank settlements.
For Monday, November 18th, this is All Things Considered.
I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Coming up, Secretary of State carries increasingly vocal differences with Israel.
Also, one family dealing with the aftermath of Typhoon Haiyan.
When it rains, there's nothing they can do. The whole thing gets wet, and they just have to either stand, maybe sit down, but they can't go to sleep.
And with the old landline telephone network aging, is it still worth replacing it with a new landline phone network?
This is old school, but there are plenty of instances where the cable goes out, the electricity goes out, and the phone network is there.
Now, the news.
From NPR News in Washington,